Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, Remote Monitoring Technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Hey, hello everybody. My name is Cesar Abate and I am your Construction Camera Specialist. This is the 50th episode of the Construction Industry Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you navigate the waters of the construction industry. Whether you're starting a career, have been in the construction industry for years, or if you're a construction project owner or construction business owner, there's always something new related to this beautiful industry of ours we can all learn. Today, I will talk to Brent Darnell on the topic of emotional intelligence. Stay tuned. Well, my friends, it's been a while since the last episode of the Construction Industry Podcast, but I wanted to let you know that I'm still here and the show must go on. Things have been very busy at Remontech and my personal life and some of my side projects as well. And as a result, unfortunately, I was unable to produce episodes of the show for a little while. But I'm back and I promise that 2015 I'll be more frequent with the show, because there's a lot to talk about, and I'm excited to bring you today's episode to start out the year the right way. Now, today I bring a fascinating talk with Brent Darnell on the value of emotional intelligence for the construction professional. This might not be a topic that you have heard about before in our industry, but it is really important, especially as we start to shift from this lowest bid mentality and approach to work. You know, and Brent Darnell is doing fantastic work in this field. And the cool thing about him is that he talks about construction, about emotional intelligence in the construction environment. So how about we get started?
And now, our feature segment.
Brent Darnell grew up in the construction business and has worked as a construction manager for 20 years. In 2002, he started his own leadership development company, where he teaches people skills to technical people and trains them like athletes. He's a graduate of Georgia Tech with a degree in mechanical engineering and a LEED accredited professional, but has also been a professional actor, stand-up comedian, playwright, and musician, as well as an adjunct professor at Auburn and Penn State, teaching emotional intelligence to their technical students. Over the past 12 years, he has worked with hundreds of companies in 24 states and 20 different countries, improving the social competence of thousands of people around the world. His book, The People-Profit Connection, written specifically for the construction industry, has garnered rave reviews, and his Tough Guy series of books has been instrumental in teaching technical people to improve their soft skills. He was recently honored as one of the top 25 newsmakers for 2012 by Engineering News Record, for transforming alpha males into service-focused leaders and connecting his emotional intelligence training approach to business success. And Brent is on the line with me today from his home in Atlanta, Georgia. Good morning, Brent. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well, thanks.
Yeah, we were just talking about here before we started that we are both early risers.
Yes, I like to get up early and start the day.
Uh-huh. I like to be done with my to-dos by 9 o'clock, and then I can start my day.
Well, I can't really profess that I get that far, you know, that much done by 9 o'clock, but still, it's nice to get a jump on the day.
Yes, it is. It is. It's very good. It just changes the pace for me, at least for the rest of the day. I just feel energized and ready to tackle the world and kill something and drag it home.
Absolutely.
Now, Brent, we're going to talk about emotional intelligence today. So how about you give us just a little bit of background on yourself and how you got to be where you are today?
Well, I'm a mechanical engineer by education. I'm a Georgia Tech graduate and worked in the construction business for 20 years as a various things, MEP coordinator, project manager, quality manager, environmental manager. I'm a LEED accredited professional. Had an opportunity to do a leadership development program for Skanska, a big Swedish contractor, and really loved it and decided that there was a pretty big need in the industry And the main focus for the personal leadership and personal development for those programs was had emotional intelligence as a foundation. And I found it to be really, really effective for most of the folks in the construction industry and probably any technical field. It's usually the piece that's missing. These are very smart folks, very technically proficient. It's those people skills that seem to be lacking or atrophied or whatever you want to say. I mean, there's some people that are very good at those things, but as a general rule, and our data bears this out, mm-hmm. most of the people have difficulty with those people one-on-one kind of situations. And it also, emotional intelligence is just discerning and managing your own emotions and discerning and managing the emotions of others for the best outcomes. It's just information that we can use in a very positive way. So it not only affects relationships and interactions with others, but it affects our own well-being and health and, you know, self-awareness of things like stress and you know, really giving our bodies and minds and emotional states what they need to succeed and do better. And you know, when you get right down to it, it improves performance. It's about increasing performance. So that's what we're all about in these leadership programs that we do.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that folks that have problems with the emotional intelligence and that they are really technical, as you said, have you noticed that that a trend there in terms of the personality? Because, you know, I'm an engineer too, and I remember back in engineering school, there was a lot of especially guys, you know, that I knew that they wanted to go into a technical field because they liked to work alone. They were not really good at socializing, and you know, and so it seems to me that the technical fields were chosen because number one, they were smart and it came easy to them, but it almost came with a promise that hey, if I master this technique and be a good technician, then I won't have to deal with all the, you know, politics and people. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and I think that probably used to be more true than it is today. I think these technical fields are becoming so highly collaborative, and I think part of that is the way that these younger kids work. They grew up with collaboration and working in teams. And, you know, we're seeing it in the industry. We're seeing IPD, Integrated Project Delivery. Lean is a very collaborative process. Design build, design assist. You know, I think even owners are recognizing that the traditional bid, build, manage, you know, model doesn't really work that well. That low bid mentality, it's giving them poor quality projects. And I think they're seeing that. So there's a lot more of a value selection and a lot more collaborative project delivery methods. And that's a different set of skills. You know, you can't just rely on your technical ability. And the other very practical part of that is there's probably 10 contractors that can do what you do. And so what's the differentiator? You know, it's not the technical stuff. It's not your schedule and budget and quality and all of those technical kinds of things. It's do they trust you and do they like you and are they going to have fun when they do this project? And that counts for a lot these days. And those, again, are different sets of skills. And those are the kind of skills that we teach.
That's interesting. Yeah. Now that I hear you talk, to me, it feels like this is, especially because of the lowest bid mentality, the construction industry has been a little shielded from this type of talk, you know, because in other industries, in project management and otherwise, emotional intelligence and teamwork and being able to work with individuals and in this team collaboration environment, this we've been talking about this for a long time in other industries, but now as we start to migrate away from lowest bid and traditional forms of construction projects and contracts, it feels like this is now, okay, well, now we have to deal with this too.
Right. And you know, the schools that where I teach at Auburn and Penn State, they really recognize this. They're doing a lot of interdisciplinary work. So when they do projects, it's not just people in construction management, they're bringing in architects, and they're bringing in landscape architects, and they're bringing in design engineers that are at school so that they can get used to collaboration and used to working with each other. So the smart schools are really starting to do that. And in fact, Penn State has done a study on emotional intelligence and team dynamics and successful teams, and it really does make a difference. Your levels of emotional intelligence, especially certain competencies, interpersonal skills, self-awareness, optimism, those are all pretty key factors in project success. And, you know, I just read an article in Engineering News Records, CII, Construction Industry Institute, just put out a study, and it said that the people stuff is the biggest sort of unexplored territory for a project, you know, really, really guaranteeing project success or getting into project failure are driven by those relationships and the trust and speed of communication and all of those kind of soft skills. And it's the last frontier. It's the biggest thing that, you know, that we haven't really addressed. Everybody can schedule projects and budget projects and bid projects. And in fact, with the electronic, you know, BIM and things like that, bidding is so simple, you know, in the context of like quantities and stuff. You're not going to miss anything. And so it comes down to your people again. It's all about that people dimension. And it's something that companies are really starting to pay attention to.
And you mentioned IPDs and different types of contract management approaches that are becoming more common. Because my experience, you know, just being in the construction field is the project environment is really tense, and there's a lot of conflict. Because everybody's operating under stress, because there's no wiggle room for anything, because they are all lowest bidders, right?
Right.
But once you, we talked about this before, you start moving away from that type of management, then it becomes important that, okay, you know, for you to actually be successful, it's not just a matter of being having the lowest price anymore. You actually need to be able to work with others.
And my vision goes beyond that. My mission is to help transform the industry. Why can't the industry be like joyful and great fun?
That'd be awesome.
You have a blast on these projects and say, wow, what a difficult project this is. Man, let's go get it together. And let's make sure that we can work all these things out and make this the best project we can make it. We've just lost that sense of it. That it can be fun. And, you know, some of my clients, they're finding that they're having fun and people love to come to work every day. And, and that sets up your next probably five projects with that client, because if they have that much fun and you really thrill them and it's a process that they enjoy, why would they pick anybody else?
Right.
You know? Or at least the short list is going to be a lot shorter. In fact, this one company, they were third on the bid list, and it was a value selection. So I think they said, you know, we're not going to get this project anyway, so we might as well do this Brent Darnell crap, you know, this emotional intelligence stuff. And they went in and really just tried to make a connection with the selection committee and talk about things that were important to them. And they really didn't focus a lot on budget or schedule or anything other than connecting with the selection committee. Well, they ended up getting the project, even though they were third on price. And since then, it was a $60 million project, and now they've gotten two $20 million additions without bidding.
Wow.
Because they're thrilling that client. They're so focused on the relationships and this being a process that's fun and engaging and you know, not full of that stress and not full of that conflict and not full of that shedding the risk. And so it becomes fun and it becomes something that people really look forward to. And that differentiator in the marketplace, you know, we're in a highly commoditized marketplace. And when you differentiate yourself in that way, you're going to get a lot more work. So it's really a bottom line business kind of an approach. It's not just about your people being better or less stressed or working with others better. It's about money.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's it's inspiring to hear you say that. A lot of people want to change the world, and they go into engineering to change the world. And nothing changes the world like construction projects. And it changes the landscape and skylines, and you make a mark, you know, on your hometown or, you know, wherever you go. And it seems like we've lost a little bit of that passion because we get bogged down by all these, you know, the lack of emotional intelligence in these projects, and they become chores, you know. But
yeah.
But what you're saying is really encouraging, because it's just there's so much to be excited about when a new construction project starts. And
I so agree. I think we've lost that sense of what a miracle construction is. Right. You know, I remember as a kid going to my dad's projects and just being awed, mm-hmm. and just being full of that sense of wonder and that sense of, wow, this is so amazing that they can take these drawings and build something that people use and love and you know, that's a part of their lives, and it makes their lives better. And I think we have lost that sense of construction being such a miracle, and we get so bogged down in the day to day, and it becomes mundane, it becomes kind of rote. And I want to get that back. I think that construction is such a wonderful industry, and I want us to get that sense of making such a huge difference on civilization and on the world. Let's get that back. And I think this is a big piece of that. Let's have more fun and understand our place in that world of making the world a better place.
Beautiful. So let's just take a step back here. What is emotional intelligence according to you?
Well, there's a lot of definitions. Number one, emotions are just information that you process. And, you know, my definition is being able to understand, to identify and understand and manage your emotions, identify, understand, and manage the emotions of others. And through that understanding, we can really connect with others in a more profound way. And so that connection leads to understanding, leads to less conflict, leads to being able to motivate others, leads to health and well-being. I mean, it really has tons of benefits. In fact, we're bringing in a physical component to these leadership programs and tying it into people's wellness programs. So we found a real correlation between the emotional and physical, so that we address both, you know, the emotional and the physical for the best performance and the highest levels of performance, mentally, emotionally, physically. It all works together. And if you leave one of those pieces out, I think you diminish the results of what you're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with lots of different personality tests that we can take.
Sure.
What makes emotional intelligence different from all these different?
Well, first of all, let me say, you know, any evaluation that gives you more self-awareness and more insight into yourself is valuable. I'm not saying that these are, you know, useless exercises. It's just that most people have done these Myers-Briggs and DISC. And, you know, I think that the answer to those questions after those evaluations are, yeah, that's me. So what? Like, what do I do with that information? Because usually personality is pretty static. If you're an ENFJ, you'll probably be that for life. You know, you may have some minor shifts. Or if you're a D in the DISC, you'll probably just be a D. And their whole method is they teach you how to get along with the other three quadrants, basically. You're a letter or a number or a color, and they'll teach you how to get along with the other three quadrants or colors or animals or whatever those things are. And emotional intelligence, the instrument we use, is a little bit different because it measures 16 different emotional competencies. And from the relative competencies, you know, one to the other, we can tell a lot about behavior and performance and things that may be problematic. And we can address those really in a very profound way by focusing on individual emotional competencies and improving those. And the other thing I really love about the emotional intelligence evaluation we use is it's very dynamic. It's like a mirror to hold up, and it really does change over time. And although you probably won't change your personality significantly, you can change these emotional competencies and improve them dramatically. It's one of the things that you can really improve and increase and be better at. So with all that, being able to really measure and improve the areas that you need to improve for better performance, that's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that, it can change over time. So are you saying that emotional intelligence can be learned?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't think I would be in business. I've been in business for 12 years, and we teach people to have better self-awareness and better empathy skills and better assertiveness. And not only does the evaluation reflect that at the end of the year, we do usually year-long programs because you can't change people's emotional intelligence in a day or a weekend. It really takes a lot of time and repetition. As far as brain science goes, it's more like learning to play a musical instrument or learning a language. It really does take a lot of repetition and a lot of over a period of time before you create these changes. But once those changes are done, they're pretty much in place. I mean, we recommend that people check in once a year, once every 18 months, just to see what their profile looks like. But these things do change. And not only do they change in terms of the numbers on the evaluations at the end of the year, but we also check with the people that in their lives and the people they work with and make sure that these changes are real. And wives have come up to me and says, "What have you done to my husband? It's a pod person you've replaced him with. He's more empathetic and he listens better and he's better with the kids." And, I've just testimonial after testimonial of, not only are they better leaders and better managers of construction processes, but they're better husbands and fathers, and in some cases, better wives and mothers as well.
Mm. Yeah. I often hear that there's no work-life balance or your work life and your personal life. There's just life,
Right.
And if it seems like your training kind of helps with that, like just to blur that line, because it really, if you're a good person at home and you're empathetic at home, why not just, be the same at work? I mean, it just works.
It's hard to, people think those are separate things, but they really do work together. And people tell me I'm really different at home than work, and there's probably some subtle differences, but in terms of emotional competencies, everything that we work on can be applied through your whole life, not just at work or not just at home.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the physical aspect of your program.
Well, we have found just fascinating results we do a symptom survey. So it's a survey based on physical symptoms, and from those symptoms, we can tell how your body's working. Well, we see correlations. So for instance, if we see a person with an anger profile, which is low impulse control and high assertiveness, which is frustration, impatience, anger, almost always we'll see biliary and liver issues. They'll have a toxic liver, and their liver's not working as well as it could be, and it's causing these physical symptoms. And, the ancients associated liver with anger. In fact, in Chinese medicine, in Eastern medicine, they don't separate those two. They treat for both. So they treat for the emotional anger plus liver stuff, if that's what they see. So those things are correlated in other areas, but in the West, we separate that. We think that the physical is separate from the emotional and those emotional states, but we found that that's just not true. And so we address both. So we'll look at things to improve liver function, plus we'll probably work on impulse control and empathy to balance out the assertiveness, to be able to create a little bit more of less volatility with these people. Mm. So, you know, when we see these correlations, physical and emotional, if you don't address both, your results are diminished. You know, I had a 50-year-old superintendent that was probably 50 pounds overweight. He was exercising like a maniac and wasn't losing any weight. Well, in his physical, it showed up as biliary and liver, sugar handling, which is the ability to process carbohydrates. And then this third was adrenals, and he was in adrenal burnout. Well, we told him, you got to quit exercising because you're just driving yourself further into adrenal burnout. And he says, well, I can't. If I quit exercising, I'll blow up like a blimp, you know. And we said, no, your body is in stress, so stressed that it's keeping the weight on. And if you can get out of this fight or flight adrenal burnout mode, you'll start losing the weight. And he did that. He quit exercising and he walked. He was running like 25 miles a week. Hmm. He started just doing real low impact kind of stuff, swimming and walking. And we modified his diet. He was a real sugarholic, and that was adding to his volatility and the anger and frustration. So we addressed the whole deal. This guy ended up changing his life. I mean, he diminished his volatility, increased his impulse control, decreased his assertiveness. We got him eating better food. You know, we talk a lot in these programs about nutrition and sleep and stress and how all of that, you know, exercise and how that affects performance. So anyway, he ended up losing like 50 pounds, got his emotional states under much better control and, you know, really changed his life.
Cool. Wow. That's, it resonates with me too. I find that, maybe I'm in the same situation, 'cause I find that, I'm not necessarily overweight right now, but when I do need to lose weight, I find that walking works better for me than running.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Interesting. Very interesting. All right. So talk a little bit about the bottom line results again. You did mention it before that this is actually helping companies get more contracts. Do you have maybe a story or two that you can share with us?
Yeah. Like I said, on value propositions, this is your differentiator. This ability to create connections with companies, with individuals, with selection committees, and we see it an awful lot. And it is funny because we can see it in other industries as well. There's a lot of industries where commoditization has been a big factor. And one of the, I mean, there's tons of examples of this. Disney is one. You know, I always ask people, is Disney the cheapest place to go? Do you go there because it's the least expensive, resort and destination? And people say, no, you know, you get a cheeseburger, it's like $25 at Disney. It's a very expensive place to go, but it's packed. So why is it packed? Well, it's because, and there's a couple of great books I can recommend that really illustrate this point. One is Thinking Fast and Slow by Kahneman. Kahneman is a Nobel Prize winning economist. He's a psychologist that studied why do people buy stuff? Why do they choose you as a product or service over another person's product or service? And what he found was these selections are based more on emotion and memory than any other factor. Than even price. So I think we haven't really tuned into that, but these other industries have, because what happens at Disney? You create a huge emotional connection with that place as a child, so that when you grow up and you have kids, you're going to take your kids there because you've connected with that place in a deep, deep emotional way. You know, I use the example of mayonnaise. What mayonnaise do you choose? And do you look at the price when you buy your mayonnaise or peanut butter? Mm-hmm. Those are all selections probably based on you grew up with that mayonnaise or that peanut butter. You don't even look at the price. And if there was another mayonnaise or peanut butter called, you know, Billy's Mayonnaise, or Billy's peanut butter that was 50 cents cheaper, you just wouldn't even consider buying it because, again, that selection is made more on emotion and memory. Another great book is called Habit, the 95% that marketers ignore, and it's about this whole emotion and memory being such a huge part of selections. So, you know, another industry that's dealt with this commoditization is the car industry. And if you'll notice, most car commercials create emotional connections with their products. They never mention gas mileage. They never mention torque. They never mention even safety ratings. It's not about those technical aspects of that product. It's about the emotional connection they make with that product and you. And so the companies that I work with that are starting to realize this, number one, we ask, you know, what emotional connections are you creating on the projects that you have now? Is it one of contention? Is it one of, you know, argumentation and confrontation? Or are you creating a positive emotional experience so that the next time they have to make a selection, they're going to say, wow, we got to choose, you know, contractor X because we just had such a great experience with them. Mm-hmm. So it's about creating those emotional connections on the projects that you have and then cultivating and connecting with people on, you know, before you get those projects and on selection committees. And you know, if you're in that room, they know that you can build that project.
Right.
You and the 10 other people that they're interviewing, that's your only differentiator. And, you know, I've got, you know, story after story after story, like the one I told you about they were third on the bid list and they ended up getting the project plus two, you know, $20 million additions without bidding. Why? Because of those emotional connections and emotional experiences that they've created with this client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. An example, this resonates with me because of the podcast, the people who listen to me, I've gotten work actually for our company without having to bid, without, you know, even people arguing with price with me, you know, because right. they learn to trust me because of the content we're creating and basically just, you know, enjoying being a part of what we're doing.
Right.
So, and as you said, it has nothing to do with price or even, you know, they know that you can do the job, as you said, if you're in the room.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, it's what differentiates in a commoditized, I guess, industry like this. So very interesting. So, Brent, tell us a little bit about your program. And for people who are listening and they might be interested in checking it out, how does the whole thing work?
Well, we start with some evaluations, the emotional evaluation, the physical evaluation, and we use for the emotional, the EQI 2.0, which is a very well-researched, validated instrument. You'll get a graph of your emotional competencies, and then we'll go through those results. The first session is, you know, what is emotional intelligence? How is it measured? What do my results mean? And an analysis process where you create development plans. So we create development plans. We create an emotional plan or two, a physical plan. You know, do you want to lose weight? Do you want to eat better? Do you want to sleep better? What do you want to do physically? And then also what we do, just general plans. We figure if you're going to be in this program and you want to improve your golf game or learn how to build furniture or whatever you want to do, it's the same process. You have to create a written plan of how are you going to attain these skills and, you know, what references are you going to use and what's your time frame and how do you measure it? So we do physical, emotional, and just a general if people want to do something along those lines. So then we spread out these learning modules throughout the year, and they're the typical ones. You know, we customize them for every group and every company based on their strategic needs and what the group scores are. But the ones that come up over and over are relationship skills, presentation skills, and how do people perceive you, those kinds of things. We do stress management, time management, team building. We do innovation and creativity. And we do systems thinking. I mean, again, it's whatever the company or the group needs. And then everybody's customizing the program to them because they're creating their own personal development plans. And then we customize the program for the group based on their needs and strategic needs of companies. So it really is customized. And then we the other thing that we do throughout this year is build in tons of accountability. We do coaching sessions, little mini coaching sessions every week that we meet. We're basically available 24/7 if they have problems or say, you know, I'm working on my assertiveness and I'm having trouble asserting myself in these situations. We can coach them through those processes. Then we build in this accountability. So everybody has an accountability partner in the class. And then we have a whole accountability list of people. Somebody above you, beside you, below you, family or friends, someone who knows you well, someone inside the business but outside the company. And we actually will check in with those all those people about halfway through the program and ask them if they're seeing any changes. And you know, that's where it really becomes a real thing. When the people around you start seeing changes in you, you know that it's really starting to take place. But the reason we do it for a year is we used to do these weekend things and we found it just doesn't work. Those informational event-based trainings, you know, we call them three-ring binder programs. You've been to those, right? Get your three-ring binder and you're all excited and you're ready to make those changes. And what do you do with the binder? You put it on the shelf and you never look at it again until a year later you need the binder, right? So you take everything out, you throw it away, and you reuse the binder for something else. So we just found that kind of learning doesn't work for this type of learning. It's ineffective. So with this accountability and with this continual coaching and follow-up, we found that the changes actually begin about the 4 to 5 month mark. And then about 7 or 8 months, they're pretty solid. And then we just give it, you know, a couple of extra months just to make sure that we've got this under control. And then at the end of the year, we reevaluate, we see what's changed. Then we look at, well, where do I want to be a year from now? Let me tweak my plans. Have my goals changed? Has my position changed? You know, what's changed in my life and work, and where do I want to be a year from now? So we tweak plans. And then we recommend that we do reunions every year or every 18 months or so, and everybody reevaluate, check in, meet for a half day, tweak plans, what's changed in my life and work, and check in, because we found that if you don't check in, you tend to atrophy and you'll tend to revert back to old behaviors, especially under times of stress. And in fact, this guy, this superintendent that lost the 50 pounds, you know, they stopped doing programs at this company. Well, I called him a few weeks ago and he's gained 30 of those pounds back because he doesn't have that accountability and he doesn't have that follow-up and that coaching and people to kind of encourage him to stay on track. So it really does make a difference.
Mm-hmm. So this sounds like the services are hired by the company, but then you work with individuals within the organization, is that correct?
Yes. So we'll have a group, and we'll but every individual we work with in terms of we're basically full-time coaches for them, and then we're starting to work with. Of course, I teach at Penn State, I teach at Auburn, and that's to students and some master's courses that they're bringing these elements into, which is really really interesting. And then I'm starting to work with a lot of young professional programs for AGC, ABC, Construction Users Roundtable, CMAA, working with their young leaders because these are the skills that they need to be able to, you know, move up quickly. And so that'll be, you know, people from a bunch of different companies coming together for these kinds of programs.
Okay. Very good. Now, Brent, I'm going to ask you to share where people can learn more about you and what you do. But before we do that, for the listener right now who is identifying, you know, him or herself as someone who can improve their emotional intelligence, do you have a tip that they can implement right away to start on that path?
Yeah, actually, we've set up a website, and it's sort of in beta now, but it's a really cool website called Change You. It's change-theletteru.com. And we have a little mini emotional intelligence test on there. And the physical test is on there, and there's our workbook and resource book, so they can go through the analysis and create plans. And it's very inexpensive. And if they want to just try something for free, they could email me, and I could send them the little mini emotional intelligence test. I'd be willing to do that. My email is just brent@brentdarnell.com. And they can check out my website as well, which is brentdarnell.com, for more information and for more, just to be able to start looking at the possibilities. I just would recommend that people really be aware, because emotional intelligence has become such a powerful movement now. It's really making a lot of headway, I think, because neuroscience is verifying what we know to be true. We always tell these engineers that this is neuroscience and physics. I mean, this is really based in science. It's not just the soft stuff. But, you know, they can get more information on the emotional intelligence, but be aware that there's a lot of people sort of repackaging their training programs and calling it emotional intelligence, and it really isn't. It's just their same programs. So I would say buyer beware on that. And make sure that you get a practitioner that understands your industry and understands your business, because if they don't do that, it really diminishes the results.
Very good. This is fantastic information. Brent, thank you so much. And I will have links to your website and also your email address on the show notes for this episode. And again, thank you so much. This was really, really interesting. And I hope to stay connected with you there and on the internets.
Yes.
And let me know if there is anything we here at Raymond Tech and the Construction Industry Podcast can do for you and the emotional intelligence movement.
Thanks, Cesar. I appreciate it. And let me know if there's anything I can do to help your end as well.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Brent Darnell today. So here's my question and challenge to you today. Think about your emotional intelligence level, or emotional IQ, if you will, and go over to constructionindustrypodcast.com, or more specifically to remontech.com/5050, and check out the show notes for today's episode and click on the links that I'm sharing there to Brent Darnell's materials. I recommend it to you to do that. I think it's something that our industry badly needs, and Brent is doing fantastic work. So go ahead and check it out. Again, remontech.com/50, or just go to constructionindustrypodcast.com and look for episode 50 there on the list of episodes. Now, as I said, it's been a while since the last episode, and one of the reasons why it's been so long is because I've been working on a different project, I don't think I shared here before, and that is the fact that I'm writing a book. Yes. So last September, I ran a Kickstarter campaign, a crowdfunding campaign, to raise some cash for the self-publishing of my first book, which I call Project Management for You. And the idea for this book is to bring project management ideas from the project management industry, from the construction industry, and down to everyone. Because I, as a professional who works in a small company, I can attest to the fact that when I learned good project management, it just completely changed my life. Because I could apply it to my work and to my projects, but also to my own personal projects. And all of a sudden, I became more reliable and more confident. And one of the reasons why I'm able to bring you this podcast is because I got better at project management. You know, the Construction Industry Podcast is a project. And had I thought about a podcast maybe 5 years ago, it would have stayed a dream in my mind, you know. But because I knew project management, I was able to take the idea for the show and turn it into reality. So the tagline for this book is to turn your ideas into reality, deliver on your promises, and get things done. So I am pretty much almost done with the manuscript, and you can actually pre-order this book. And the way to do that, you can go to projectmanagementforyou.com. Again, projectmanagementforyou.com to pre-order the book, and you can choose between, you know, hardcover or ebook and audiobook right there on that page. And also this link is available at on the show notes for today's episode. So if you go to constructionindustrypodcast.com or remontech.com/50, you'll be able to find it there as well. And yeah, so I'm really excited. This is taking a lot of my free time, and I'm getting up early in the morning to write and going to bed late, but I'm really excited about this project. So there you have it. I hope you go and check it out. Now, before I go here today, I just wanted to remind you that the Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech Construction Camera Specialists. I used to be a project manager, and I recently been promoted to Vice President Client Services for Remontech. And we at Remontech, we provide remote monitoring for construction projects. So we install and maintain construction monitoring equipment, IP cameras, and all the equipment that is necessary to make them work. And we provide a live feed of your construction project on the internet, which you can check from your laptop, your desktop, your tablet, or your iPhone. We also record remotely images from the construction site and create time-lapse videos, which record the progress and record everything that went on in the construction project. And thirdly, which is kind of the unique thing that we do, we link the time-lapse photography of the project to the Gantt chart. We call it dynamic scheduling, and you can find more information about that at remontech.com or constructionindustrypodcast.com. So if you are working on a medium to large construction project right now, and you'd like to work with me and work with Remontech, please drop me a line. Go to remontech.com or constructionindustrypodcast.com, find the contact us link there, and drop me a line. I'd love to learn more about your project and see how we can collaborate and work together. So that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show today, and I will talk to you again next time.